Good afternoon, Rabosai. I want to thank Rabbi Adler for joining us today. Be'ez Hashem, Rabbi Adler will be speaking about the halachas of Chol HaMoed. I happen to think that it's very, very important for Rabbanim not only to be familiar with the halachas of Chol HaMoed, but also to speak about the halachas of Chol HaMoed. Because most of our balabatim assume that, you know, Chol HaMoed is just a day off and a weekday, and it's almost like the unwanted stepchild of Klal Yisrael. And hopefully after this year, you will realize a little bit more, not only of the halachas of Chol HaMoed, but why it's so important to know the halachas, as we'll see. It might possibly be daraisa, as Rabbi Adler will explain, and the parameters thereof, and therefore, b'chavad rav, thank you, Rabbi Adler, b'chavad rav.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Orlin. Thank you for working out the schedule and such. I apologize in advance that we're going to have to rush a little bit, and I do have a chasna around 6 o'clock. I need to leave, so we'll do the best we could with the time that we have. You know, we can't really do justice to the topic in terms of all the nitty-gritty halachas, but I hope Yishma Chacham Yosef Lekach. What I'll try to do is give you a flavor of what the issues are, some of the terminology, some of the makoros, and therefore you'll know what types of shilas would come up, and when needed, you'll know where to look and who to consult and so on. Okay, so Rabosai, the topic of Hilchos Chol HaMoed can be found. Many of the sugyas are in Masechta Moed Katan, and you also have scattered sugyas elsewhere in Shas as well. We'll mention soon the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Ches, which is the question of whether the Melacha Chol HaMoed is Derais or Derabanan. In the Rambam, you'll find this in Hilchos Yantif, mostly Hilchos Perek Zayin and Ches, a little bit at the end of Perek Vav in terms of Avelis B'Chol HaMoed. In the Shulchan Aruch, if you open a sixth chelk of Mishneh Berurah, the very first simen is that of Chol HaMoed, and continuing from there, from Taf Kuf Lamed all the way until Taf Kuf Mem Ches, which is Avelus B'Chol HaMoed, what the Ram talked about in the beginning is mentioned at the end. Many, many simanim with many details and many halachos. Shmiras Shabbos Kilchas is also a classic sefer to be familiar with. At the end of Chelek Beis, the very last section of Chelek Beis is where he goes through halachos, many of them, of course, Nogei L'maisa, because we have to adapt the principles of the Gemara to situations, of course, that we have today. There are many kitzur svarim, both in Lashon HaKodesh as well as in English, that, of course, also go over modern-day type of shilas. And again, we're not going to try to paskin any shilas for us right now, just to give you a sense of the types of issues that come up and the makoros and where what they're based on. Okay, just by way of introduction, Rabbi Orlin mentioned how people have a misconception about Chol HaMoed, thinking that basically it's a weekday. So you have the first day of Pesach and the first days of Pesach for Chutz Laaretz, and then you have the last days. So is with Sukkot, the first day, and you have Shmini Atzeres, and the middle is basically like a weekday. Now, on one level, you obviously understand we call it Chol HaMoed. So there is a certain level, Kedusha, that seems to be less than that of the beginning and the end of Yantif. We make Havdol, after all, from the first days of Yantif to Chol HaMoed. Hamavdol ben Kodesh L'chol. We say Atachon Antanu in the davening. The Shmona Esrei of Shacharis and Ma'ariv and Mincha is that of a Chol, of a weekday. But we add Yal of Yavo, Me'en HaMa'ora. So in that regard, you could say it is obviously not the same Kedusha.
Is it just me? Did Rabbi Adler freeze for you also?
It froze for me too.
Okay, fine. So
I'm sorry about the glitch. Okay, so before we go back, most of this year we'll talk about malacha and categories of malacha. But before we get into that, just to give a frame of reference in terms of how we should look at Chol HaMoed. So at Mitzad Echad, of course, we have halachos of Chol HaMoed that seem to be associated with weekday. But l'maisa, we also know there's halachos of simcha. There's a mitzvah of simcha that applies through all the days of Yantif. How does that play out today? So if you could actually have a shear of yayin or grape juice,
Did it freeze again for everybody?
Yeah.
Level, Kodesh, the Torah seems to emphasize in the first and the last days of the Yontif, but there's another pasuk at the end of Parshas Ha'Mo'adim that refers to the whole series of what's mentioned before as Mikra Kodesh. One of the ideas of Mikra Kodesh is to dress nicely, to show kavod to the day, and therefore the halacha is that one should dress more than dress up rather than dress down. One should not wear big day chod. It's something that people are not aware of. Generally, walk around in shul. Sometimes people just wear regular casual attire on Chol Hamoed. Really, that's not appropriate. One need not wear the level of Shabbos and Yontif clothing necessarily. If you have something in between that would be more bachavadik than regular weekday, then that's the halacha. That's really what the Sharat Sun discusses in the very beginning of Hilchos Chol Hamoed. So if you look at the beginning of Hilchos Chol Hamoed, you see a little bit about what I just described in terms of Ksus Nekiya, the idea of at the same time, we should try to show some formality in what we eat. If we could wash, it would be certainly a preferable thing to do. The Aruch HaShulchan says you should have a tablecloth on your table. So we have to look at Chol Hamoed with a certain sense of chashivos. Now, to highlight the importance of this, forgetting about yet Issa Malacha, but just the attitude, Chazal are very strict about how important it is to show chashivos to Chol Hamoed. There's a statement in Pirkei Avos and also Mamari Chazal to the effect that Mvazas HaMoados is a very serious thing. Engel Chelko HaMabo says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's like Avod Obed Avodah Zarah, says the Gemara in Makis. The Gemara, and many Rishonim interpret this Gemara as referring to Chol Hamoed. So to show, and the Rav Bar Tanur, for example, in that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, one of the Pshatim that he offers is Moados referring to Chol Hamoed. Dafka, because people tend to make light of Chol Hamoed, we have to go the other direction and show chashivas and recognize that this is a unique day. Rav Chaim was noted as holding the following. We usually assume if there's a heter melacha, we see there's elements of heter melacha Chol Hamoed. So that means that Kedusha is somehow diminished. It's less than a day where there's a full-fledged Issa melacha. Rav Chaim said that the pshat of Chol Hamoed is different. It's not that the fact that there's certain haterim in melacha as indicating that it has less kedusha than the rest of moed. The kedusha is the same, but there's a heter melacha. So dafka, the Torah was matim melacha, but the fact that you have karbanos musaf and the like, the kedusha is identical to that of the rest of yontif. Let's begin to talk about the iser melacha b'chol hamoed. There is many, many, many categories of Issa Melacha, many different details. Again, we'll talk about the Klalim more than, of course, this every specific situation. The way that Hilchos Hagah Lefit Sorech HaInyan Shehaya Nireh L'Chachamim LaHatir. So what does all this mean? If you look, first, before we get into some of the specifics in terms of the Mishnah Berurah, what exactly is the makor for Issa Melacha b'chol hamoed? You look specifically in Chumash, and the Torah talks about the Moadim and says, Kol Melacha lo sasu, Kol Meleches Avoda lo sasu, and the like. You don't find the Torah explicitly using such phrases regarding Chol Hamoed. The Torah will say, Bayom HaRisho Mikra Kodesh, Kol Meleches Avoda lo sasu, Ubayom HaShvi Mikra Kodesh, by Pesach, Bayom HaShmini, Atzeres Tilachem, Kol Meleches Avoda. So Mefurish in the Pasuk, you won't find the Lashon HaPasuk speaking to Chol Hamoed, to Aser B'Melacha. So you have a sugya in Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches, where you have five drushes quoted by different Tanoim, to learn out that there's an Issa Melacha. We have to first speak about what that means in terms of the Klalim, but the fact that there is an Issa Melacha b'chol hamoed. Because of the time issue, we're not going to be able to go through each of those five drushes, but each of those drushes, in a different way, points to the fact that the Torah wants it to be an Issa Melacha b'chol hamoed as well. Now, I say the Torah, That's because you could read the Gemara that these are real drushes, whether the drusha has to do with Pesach or Sukkot. The Torah says Shivas Yomim right next to the mentioning of the day that it should be a Shabbos, and it should be a day of Issa Melacha. So we connect the phrases that are juxtaposed, that there's Issa Melacha even for all 7 days. Other limudim, Kal v'chomer, and all of that. So many Rishonim, Tosis over there in Chagiga is a long Tosis, is Medayik from the Rosh. Tosis, for example, makes the case there in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches that it can be that the Issa Melacha is Midaraisa. It has to be Midrabbana. Now, at the end of those five drushes, the Gemara says something interesting. The expression used in the Gemara is Misaran HaKasav LaChachamim, that the Torah Pasuk gave the Chachamim a certain authority to make determinations about what malachas are mutter, what malachas are asr. So, for example, Rashi mentions over there, one of the categories of malachas that are mutter are called davar ha'aved. If there's going to be a loss of money, you're going to end up in a situation that you're going to lose a lot of money, or maybe even a little bit of money, then there are heterim that you can do malacha b'chol ha'moed. So the Lashna Gemara is that it was the Chachamim who made that determination. So at first glance, that Lashna Gemara would be mashma, that the entire institution of Issa Melacha is only Midrabban, and the Chachamim decide when we'll aser, when we won't aser. However, many Rishonim take the Gemara to mean, the Rif, for example, they assume is an Issa Doraisa Melacha, but yet, you find paradigms where even when the Torah asks something, the Torah leaves the Chachamim room to define the parameters of that Isser. So the Isser could ultimately be Midoraisa. If you look in the Bir Halacha, in the very beginning of Tav Kuf Lamed, beginning of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, you have a long arichus of a list of Shitas, Gaonim and Rishonim on either side of this issue. So this is like an entry point to discuss Melacha b'chol ha'moed, when it's Aser, Doraisa versus Drabanan. You have to start being Medayik, who holds what? The Pashtus in the Rambam is that it's the Drabanan, that's how the Chinuch assumes, but others want to say even within the Rambam it could be Doraisa, even though he uses the Lashon b'divrei Sofrim. We'll mention the Lashon of Rambam in a bit. And the Bir Halacha ends up more or less like it's even. And it sounds like, therefore, we have to be choshesh, perhaps, that there could be a real issa doraisa, if there's a suffix type of situation, suffix doraisa l'chumra. So it's a very serious machlokes to be sensitive to. Okay, so now, Tosus brings one of the rais, by the way. Again, you can look at the Tosus, all the different kashas. One of the rais he has that it can't be doraisa is because the number of aliyas that we have on Chol HaMoed is the same as on Rosh Chodesh. And we know that Rosh Chodesh is only 4 aliyas, so is Chol HaMoed. Yontif, which is more chamor, is 5, Yom Kippur 6, and Shabbos 7. So it sounds like, because we're putting on the same level as Rosh Chodesh with 4 aliyas, it sounds like the Issa Melacha Chodesh, it wouldn't be Asa Midoraisa. Either way, this is a machokes, as we noted, many, many shitas on either side of the issue. Okay, so now, okay, this is not really, this more lumbish, but would you say, if it's an Issa Doraisa, conceivably, if it will be a lav, if you can find the lashon of a lav in the Torah and connect it to Chol HaMoed, then we have to consider the possibility of malchus to somebody who violates Issa Melacha. But lo matzanu, there is discussion in Menchas Chinuch and other achronim about whether even to consider such a possibility. Again, not negeh lemaisa, but simply conceptually, would we even suggest that it could possibly depend on whether the makor is a makor that allows for a lav or something other than a lav, but at the end of the day, for one reason or another, we don't assume at all, we don't find anywhere that there should be actually a malchus, even if you would assume it's a doraisa. Okay, the important source that allows us to begin to frame everything that we're going to say from here on in is a lashon of a Yerushalmi that Tosus there quotes in Chagiga Yud Ches. It's quoted also here early on in the Mishneh Berurah in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. The lashon of the Yerushalmi is klum asru b'chol melacha b'chol shamoed ella kedei sheyil ochin b'shosin b'yugayin b'torah. The language is: did they not forbid Chol HaMoed Melacha and Chol HaMoed for what reason? So that people can have physical enjoyment and also spiritual pleasures of Torah. Tosis uses that Lashon to prove his Shita that the entire Isser is the Rabbanan because the Lashon is Klum Asru. For our purposes, though, what we need to also notice is that the Geder HaIsser, whether it's Doraisa, whether it's Rabbanan, if it's Doraisa, it's still obviously up to the Chachamim to make certain determinations. But the fundamental principle, operating principle within Melacha B'Chol HaMoed is that what we're looking for is a frame of reference for the day, that the day has to have a certain character, and the character should be such that would be conducive to both people having a good time to feel good in terms of their spirits physically, as well as time to devote to Talmud Torah and to spiritual matters. It's interesting to notice the Lashon HaRambam in the beginning of Perek Zayin, where he begins to discuss Melacha B'Chol HaMoed, says the Rambam as describing what it is that Torah forbids or the Rabbanan forbid. Cholo Shel Moed, says the Rambam, Perek Zayin Alacha Aleph. The Torah doesn't say the word Shabbason specifically about Chol HaMoed. Hoel v'nikra mikra kodesh, that's the pasuk of Eila Moed Hashem, mikra e kodesh, that the Torah says at the end of everything. So it's called mikra kodesh. V'harehu zman chagiga b'migdash, it's a time that people would bring the karbonos chagiga. Aser basias melacha, says the Rambam, k'dei shelo yireh kishar yemei hachol she'en behem kedusha klal. So the Rambam gives you a rationale for the Issa Malacha. It's Aser Basias Malacha in order that it not be like just ordinary days of weekday that have no Kedusha. The Rambam goes on and says, one who does Malacha gets Makas Mardus, not Malkus Doraisa, because Isur Medivei Sofrim, that's why many assume the Rambam holds it's only Drabbanan, and others say it maybe not a Raya. The Rambam can use the word Medivei Sofrim in different ways, in different places. But either way, the Rambam gives you the extra twist on what it means to have an Issa Malacha, k'dei shelo yeh kishar yemei hachol. So this is really something that's going to drive much of what we're going to discuss in terms of the details of Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Now, we mentioned the Lashon HaMechaber, where he says, Chol HaMoed asa b'ksas malachos u'muta b'miksasan, and the Ramah adds, l'fid tzorech ha'inyin, sh'aya nira l'chachamim l'hatir. That Lashon HaRamah is very revealing, and it's really alluding to a Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechta Moed Katan that you cannot compare one case to another. Halachos of Chol HaMoed don't necessarily conform to what you and I might assume should naturally flow one from the other. The Lashon HaGemara Moed Katan Daf Yud Beis, it's Hilchos Moed are like Hilchos Kusim Bahalacha, that and the Gemara says that Akuros, Rashi says, is like a woman who's barren, who has no peri, who has no offspring. And therefore, what it means is you can't take a halacha and try to build on it, because I can extrapolate the halacha and then begin to extrapolate to other things as well. Because you never know, one case Chazal decided for their reasons, that's going to be usher, that becomes a halacha kavua. And you never know what went into that shikul that you can now think on your own to compare to other cases. The Lashon of the Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Chav Gimel, when he's Mayrech about Hilchos Chol HaMoed, he says, Klau Zeh Yia Biyadecha, and he makes another connection to Shvusei Shabbos. Chazal makes certain Gzeres and Shabbos of Midraban and Shvusin, and he says, you can't start saying, well, why did they decide this should be a Shvus and this is not? Pa'amim timtza l'rabuseinu, says the Chinuch, that there'll be matir, a certain melacha kveda, very, very, a lot of exertion involved in one situation, and they'll say it's okay. And sometimes they'll be, at the same time, they're machmir in a different area. And don't wonder about this, says the Chinuch, because ultimately it boils down to the Chachamim's discretion, and they'll make the call based on what goes into what they think. And so it is with in terms of Shvusei Shabbos as well, and therefore ain danin davar mi davar. So now there are some categories that we should talk about. The Mishnah Berurah again mentions them very much in the beginning, and then the simanim that follow go into the details. So these categories are as follows. You have what's called davar ha'aved. Again, we'll get into some of that. There's a whole two simanim discussing that. Davar means loss of income, loss of money, hefsid mamon. you have what's called Sorche Hamoed, which Sorach Hamoed is mutter, and there are certain restrictions, however, even though it's mutter, not necessarily always. There's a difference between what's called Maise Uman and Maise Hedyot. So you have Mishnayis that discuss this in Moed Kadin. Even when we are matir with Sorach Hamoed, we are only matir if it's done in a haphazard way, not a professional way. It has to be non-professional, not skilled. Maise Uman might be usa even with Sorach Hamoed. And then you have a category within Sorach Hamoed that's not as strict, and that's called Sorachei Haguf, and Ochel Nefesh certainly would be that, where we don't make such a distinction. If it's Sorach Haguf or Ochel Nefesh, then you could do it in a very professional way as well. So you have Sorach Hamoed, but within that you have the more obvious heter of Sorachei Haguf and Sorachei Ochel Nefesh. Now you have a category of a poel that doesn't have what to eat. Someone is literally starving, and then you can have them do malacha or help them out. You have a category called Sorachei Rabin, which is mutter, again, all based on Mekoros and Nishnayis and Gemaris, Tzorchei Rabin, situations for communal needs. You have to fix the roads and things like that. And each one has its own discussion with its details. Now, I mentioned before the machlokes about whether melacha b'chol hamoed is d'oraisa d'rabbanan. On the one hand, there are those who hold all melachas that are usher when limitation. When you have, for example, we're going to talk about within the halacha of Tzorchei Hamoed, we mentioned before, meleches uman would be usher. So that, says the Ramban, would only be midrabbanan. It was when the Chachamim put a certain limitation on that which would be mutter, with Tzorach Hamoed, for example, that's a drabanan. Same thing, let's say, Dabar Ha'aved, if there's an Isser called be Mechavin Melachto Hamoed. You can't say, well, since Dabar Ha'aved is mutter, or since Tzorach Hamoed is mutter, so therefore, let me dafka wait for the moed and rely on that which is mutter anyway. So you can't be Mechavin Melachto Hamoed. That's what Ramban would be drabanan. So that's the middle shita, which Ramban has many rayas to say it like that. That midoraisa, anything which is davar aved or tzorach hamoed is mutter without any limitations. When we find those limitations, that's where you have the issa drabanan. Okay, these are the various classifications of in terms of what's issa deraisa, what's drabanan. In referencing Melacha b'chol hamoed, speaks about the word tircha. You look in the very beginning, the sugya in Moed Katan by Mashkin Beis Hashalchin. The Gemara says, based on the base, it has to do with tircha. Bishlam hamoed, says the Gemara, mishum tirchahu. So the Chachamim felt mishum pseida, pseida meaning davar ha'aved. So they were matir the iser tircha. So it sounds like the Melacha b'chol hamoed has to do with the notion called tircha. Other Gemaras of this nature, the Gemara talks about not getting married in Chol HaMoed. So one of the reasons given later in Daf Ches on the days, Mepnei HaTorach. Another Gemara, Daf Yud Gimel, distinguishing between Melacha B'Erev Pesach and on Chol HaMoed. Moed Mishum Tirchahu. Another Gemara, and we have Shvias coming up, so you have a lot of interesting overlap between Melacha B'Chol HaMoed and Shvias, the very beginning of Moed Katan. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Amud Beis distinguishes as follows. Shvias, the Melacha Aser Rachmana, Tircha Shari. Moed Afil Tircha Nami Aser. The Gemara keeps bringing in the word Tircha in connection to that which is Aser and Chol HaMoed. And the question is, what is the relationship between what we call tircha? There's a issa drabanan, for example. This is for sure drabanan, called prakmatya. That's a whole other category, separate from malacha that we're discussing. There's an issa to do business on chol hamoed. Again, unless it's sorach hamoed. That is for sure an issa drabanan, and most Rishonim assume it has to do with what's called tircha. But even those isurim of malacha are very much connected, as we see in the various gemaras, to the notion of tircha. The Ravya connects this idea of tircha with that Yerushalmi that we quoted earlier, that we mentioned that the purpose of Issa Melacha was in order that people should be able to engage both in terms of Hanas Haguf, Achilas Shtia, and also Talmud Torah. Says the Ravya that Misarna Kasav Lachachamim Leida Eza Malacha Asura Eza Muteres Kedesha Yismach Ben Moed, like the Yerushalmi says, and from the simcha that a person will have and more expansive mind, they'll be able to focus ultimately on Torah, Talmud Torah, being the simcha. And therefore, says the Rav Yah, if there's tircha yisera, if there's going to be things that are going to take a lot of your energy, your focus, and your physical exertion, then it's usur because libo atzu b'pnei tircha, because it's going to expend your energy and not going to be able to devote the days of Chol HaMoed to what we want you to have, which is to feel relaxed and content and focused on Talmud Torah ultimately. And therefore, the melachos are usur because of the tircha idea, which are going to detract from the spirit of the day. On the other hand, says the Rav Yah, why will we matim melachas davar ha'aved? Because if someone can't eat, because there, to the contrary, there, if a person's not going to be able to do the melacha, they're going to be more depressed than if they would do the melacha. So ultimately, it comes out that the factor that seems to be governing the chachamim's determination, even as they have certain specific halachas that are stated regarding davar aved and the like, but the governing principle seems to be this Yerushalmi. And to the extent that there's tircha involved, it's going to detract from the spirit of the day. It's going to become like a yom chol. You're not going to be able to focus on what we want you to focus on. To the extent that to be mata the melacha would enhance ultimately the spirit of the day because you'd be too depressed otherwise. Therefore, they'd be mata. It's a very important way to think about everything that we're going to discuss. And now we have a very interesting question to consider. So is it tircha or is it melacha or is it both? What's the relationship? If you have something which is not quite a malacha, but it's tircha, would it be aser? Because it doesn't seem to qualify as one of the lametes malachas. Conversely, let's say you have something which is technically a malacha from lametes malachas perspective, but it doesn't really involve any type of tircha, physical or mental of any kind. So would that be usur nonetheless, because technically it's a melacha that doesn't have tzarach hamoed associated with it? You have to try to find those heterin. Or can you say that just the fact that there's no tircha would be enough to tell me that there's no issur? This is not a simple issue. So first of all, in terms of tircha without melacha, so clearly there are examples in halacha that are, again, black and white in Shulchan Aruch based on the Shnayis and Moed Katan, that we do find certain specific isurim of tircha. We mentioned before pragmatia, for example. Business on Chol HaMoed might not be technically a malacha. It's even a deshaila in terms of Shabbos and Yontif. What's exactly the isur? So maybe it's a shvus. Maybe it could rise to a derice of Shabboson, the Ramban in Parshas Emor. But pragmatia is per se an isur that Rishonim say is tircha, even if there may not be a malacha involved. Another example of this would be moving. There's, again, in Mishnayis in Daf Yud Gimel and in Shulchan Aruch, Tavkuf Lamed Hey, you're not allowed to move from one dira to another, even if maybe there's no malacha involved in what you're doing. But just the fact that there's a tremendous involvement of tircha, mental and physical exertion, so that's clearly usur. So we do find applications of tircha being usur independent of malacha. But a bigger question, again, those are specific examples that Chazal asked it. What about melacha that has no tircha associated with it? So, example, you walk into a room and you flick the switch and the light goes on. Now, did you really need the light in the room at this moment when you walked in? Okay, so that is a question that to this day is not really resolved, except that Minika Olam is for sure Lahakel. But if you try to go through Makoros, Yesh, Rayos, Lakan, Ulakan, and I literally we could spend more than even one shir just on this very Nakuda, but I'm again. Yeah, okay. So I was muted. Rabosai, so if you're outside without an Eruv, do you have to make sure that whatever you're carrying is something you need with Tzarech HaMoed? So there is a Me'iri and Daf Yud Ches HaMoed Katan that says Mefurish that there's no Isser Hotzah on Chol HaMoed. The question is, why not? Is it just because Hotzah per se is Melacha Gerua, or is it because it's not called Tzorech? It's not called a Torah, I should say. We know, for example, that Isuri Muksa do not apply in Chol HaMoed, Shavusim of Shabbos do not apply in Chol HaMoed, B'Daberdava Mimsochevsecha does not apply. But now we're talking about real Melacha, something that would qualify as a Melacha in general, but it's not a Torah. So to the extent that now we look at Tircha as the only Koveya, and even to the extent that there's an overlap with Melacha, it has to be Melacha of Tircha, then if it's just a Melacha without a Tircha, it'll be Mutter. If we assume that ultimately you still have to filter everything through the categories of Melacha, even as Tircha also plays a role, but if it's a Melacha without a Tircha, if you're tying your shoes and it's not really necessary for the Moed, but you did kosher, I didn't take much effort, nevertheless, it could be a concern. Again, so this is a question that there's a lot to speak about. Just to Mar Makomos on it, if you want, the Enek Bracha, is a Talmud of the Briska Rav, so he brings a Sif and Shulchan Aruch, and l'chor, this issue depends on how to understand this Sif and Shulchan Aruch. Tav Kuf Mem Siv Beis says, Mutter Lito Gavshushes Shebebeis. Gavshushes is a little mound you have on the ground inside. They used to have floors that not like our floors, it would be like outdoors. And it's a little, you know, little mound, and it's not even. The floor isn't even. So you can smooth things out. Now, technically, doing that involves malacha like choresh or bone. But what you're doing, chora, doesn't seem to involve much tircha. So one way to understand this halacha, and the same Mikbracha suggestion, and there are indications in Rishonim that this is the pshat, it's because there's no tircha involved. So malacha it might be, but tircha it wasn't, and therefore it's mutter. Mitzad sheni, others explain, like the Mishnah Berurah, for example, says, it, even though it's a malacha gemura, says the Mishnah Berurah, and it's not a dava ha'aved, it's a tzarech ha'moed. Because you want to make sure that nobody trips on it or whatever. So do you have to fit Tzarech HaMoed as the basis for the heter in a case where what you're doing doesn't seem to involve any tircha? Again, this is nogeya very much to the Masa. And I would say, again, Minag HaOlam, for the most part, is Lahakel, to assume, again, you're sending a text, you're sending an email. Again, it could be Tzarech HaMoed because of that. Or it could be mutter anyway, because you're not really thinking much about what you're doing. You do it half asleep and it's fine. Again, many makoros, if you write a letter, in the olden days, igeres shulumim, you're sending a letter to your friend. So the Shabbat Aleket seems to say it's even oksiva might be a malacha. So do you have to justify it based on either davar aved or based on tzarech hamoed? Or do you say, yeah, it's something that you do casually. It's not a formal type of thing. So it's mutter because it's not a tircha. So one indication of some Rishonim would be that would be enough to be matir. And others would have to always make it fit within some other category that's technically matir malacha. Again, Hutzah itself is a major discussion. At the end of the day, even Poskim Meret Yisrael, who tend to be machmir on some of these in Yonim, Avol Yashiv, says, Hamach mitavol abracha, but Ne'ikar Adin, he says, Hutzah would be mutter, even not with Tzarech HaMoed, if it's not something that's a tircha that you're carrying, you wouldn't be in violation regarding Hutzah. It could be specifically Hutzah because it's a malacha gerua, or it could be because of what we're saying now, that if it's not tircha, it's not going to be usher. The Chai Adam, on the other hand, says that if you kosher shelo with Tzarech HaMoed, any type of a knot would be usher. It sounds like he's assuming that as long as it's a malacha, you have a problem. There is an indication in the Radvaz, I believe, that this shaila would also be totally in the question that we started with. If Malacha B'chol HaMoed is midoraisa, like those who hold that way, then you have to go first through the prism of Malacha. And if it's a Malacha but not a Tircha, it would still be us. But if we go with those shittas that hold that the entire premise of Malacha B'chol HaMoed is Drabanan and the drushes are an Asmachta, then we would assume that Tircha, that for Malacha B'li Tircha, it would be Mutter, if you hold Melacha B'chol HaMoed Rabbanan. So it could be that it does hinge on that as well. Again, if you want more Mamakomas on this, I'm happy to provide them. But again, we could spend literally an entire shir or more just on this very Nekuda. Again, very nogea lemaisa. You walk into a room, you put on the light. You want to close your, put on your phone. You don't really need it. You want to close your phone at the end of Chol HaMoed. And if you don't do it, it's going to go, the battery's going to go out. Okay, so then Motzei Yontif, you'll have to recharge it. So are you allowed to close your phone? Okay, if it's just a simple thing, an innocuous thing that you're doing, so it's not a tircha, okay, no problem. If you have to justify based on Sarach HaMoed, I don't know. You're coming on to Yontif, to the last days of Yontif now. You're not going to need the phone anyway. Again, unless you say Davar HaAved involves the loss of the battery, I don't know. I don't know. But Pashtus, you'd have to make it depend on this Shaila. Okay, so now let's go through some of the nitty gritty in terms of Tzorach HaMoed and the Meleches Hedyot, Meleches Uman. We'll talk about other conditions such as the Tzina versus the Ferhesia. We'll talk about Melchavim Melachta LaMoed, that's Aser. Then we'll get maybe to Olchol Nefesh, Tzorach HaGuf, and then Meleches Dabar HaAved a little bit, and whatever else we can get to. Okay, how do you we talked about Tzorach HaMoed. Tzorach HaMoed, in the broader sense, means it's not Ochel Nefesh. It's not Tzorach HaGuf, such as, for example, a person, you know, needs, you know, a woman needs Tachshitin on her body. That's called Tzorach HaGuf. Shaving, for example, were not for a special Gzeira. The Chazal said not to shave in Chol HaMoed for a special reason. We don't want you to do it. Wait for Chol HaMoed to do it, so they asked. But without that, it would have been mutter. So the Ramban brings out as a raya that it's mutter to do Tzorach HaGuf, just like Ochel Nefesh. So that's a category by itself. But Tzorach HaMoed, that's not Tzorach HaGuf, is mutter, but it has to be, number one, Maise Hedyot and not Maise Uman. Number two, it has to be Bitsina and not Befer Hesya. Why? Because people don't know. That's what Tzorach HaMoed. They see you doing a malacha. How do they know? So if it's Bitsina, then that's better. Third restriction is it should not be Mechave Melachto LeMoed. You can't dafka wait and do it to Tzorach HaMoed if you could have done it before. It's not Tzorach HaGuf, it's Tzorach HaMoed, but you could have, you could have done it earlier and you dafka waited to do it then. These are all based on the Shnais in the beginning of Moed Katan. The question is how to be Magdir, Meleches Uman versus Maise Hedyot. The Mishnayos talk about cases where you have someone sewing something. So the way that it's set up, if the buttons are not not aligned, it's more of a casual type of a sewing. That's machliv. If it's not, if it doesn't look professional, but in terms of our situations, a mechanic is doing something to your car. So a mechanic is usually a Maisa Uman. Let's say you're stuck on your way. You're going somewhere for a Chol HaMoed trip and you have to fix something in the car. So if it's done in a professional way, even though it's Tzorach HaMoed, it would be Aser. If it's done in a non-professional way, then it would be Mutter. What defines such a thing? Now, again, if you're going to be stuck in the middle of the wilderness somewhere, you have no way to go get home except to have your car fixed, that's called Tzorach HaGuf. So there's no question, whatever it is, even if it's, even if it's Maisa Uman, you have to find a way to have your car fixed, and then you can have the mechanic do whatever he does professionally. But assuming you can take an Uber, you can leave the car there, you can take a bus, a train, whatever, and it's nothing more than Tzorach HaMoed, then you have to know what's defined as Maisa Uman, which is Aser, and what's considered that a quick fix. You know, you tell the mechanic, do it in any old-fashioned way, or if he tells you what to do, you could do it also. You could also change the flat tire. So maybe that's called Maisa Hedyot. How do you define Maisa Hedyot? I don't know how to change a flat tire, but most people can probably do it. So that could be Maisa Hedyot. Another example of how hard it is sometimes to define this. Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov apparently had this machlokas back when, before we had digital cameras. So there was something called Polaroid cameras. Polaroid cameras meant that you would take the picture, and instead of having film that you would develop afterwards and you'd have to wait till it got developed, you would press a button on your Polaroid camera and out would come a printout of the picture you just took. So it's printing on demand right then and there. So that pressing of the button that brings you a professional, quote unquote, professional looking picture, are you allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed? It might be Tzorach HaMoed, but it doesn't necessarily qualify as Maisa Hedyot if it looks so professional. Rav Moshe said, well, anyone could push the button. You don't have to be a smart person, a skilled person. You know how to push a button. So therefore, it's called Maaseh Hedyot. If Tzarech HaMoed would be Mutter. Rav Yaakov, I believe, felt that, no, it has a certain professional look to it. That's called Maaseh Uman. The equivalent for us would be printing from a computer. Right? If you're typing on the computer, so let's assume that's not called Ksiva, and it's not a problem to type and to save on the computer, leaving that issue on the side. But if you want to print something out on Chol HaMoed that you're going to use on Chol HaMoed or the last days of Yom Tov. So when you print it, it's a printer does a certain quality type of printing that maybe could be called Maaseh Uman because it has a certain surah to it. But if you say, no, look, my kids are young and they can, they're in elementary, one of them is elementary school, that she can do on a computer what I can do on the computer, press whatever it is, print. It doesn't really take very much to do it. That's called Maaseh Hedyot. Contra Moshe, that would be Maaseh Hedyot, not a Maaseh Uman. So again, these are the types of questions where it could be very relevant to know what's defined as, in terms of contemporary applications, what's called a Maaseh Hedyot and versus Maaseh Uman. The other condition I mentioned was it should be done bitsina. Again, the Mishnah, Yud Gimel, Mochrei Peros, Mochrin bitsina, and so on. Shulchan Aruch, Tavkuf, Lamed Gimel. The Lashon is as follows. Kol melachos, shehem with tzorach ha-moed. When those people who are doing it tzorach ha-moed, they should do it bitsina, says the Mishnah Bura. This is only when it's a case of a melacha that the person looking wouldn't necessarily know it's tzorach ha-moed. So there's this quote-unquote maris ayin, you don't really know. Therefore, we talk about doing it bitsina, not before hesia. And then the third condition is it should not be mechavin melachta le-moed. Again, tafkuf lamid vav, and other places, tafkuf lamid zayin as well. And the reason for this is because of zilzul b'moed. The Chinuch writes in Shin Chav Gimel, because lo lasat b'melachol k'vul yimeichol shal moed, kim l'smoach l'fnei Hashem. And therefore, your mevazes amodos, you waited for chol moed for your convenient time to do it. That should have been done before. What's called mechavin melachta l'moed is interesting. Let's say you had plenty of time weeks before the moed, but you wanted to do it on a day or two before the moed. And then comes Erev Yantif and suddenly you got distracted and something happened, you couldn't do it. But you had all those weeks before. Is that called Mechavim Lach to the moed? So this is a shaila in general when it comes to, let's say, issues of Tashlumin by Tefillah and other situations. You started out with the Pshia, but it ended up being an onus. I believe it, in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he tries to show maybe a comparison to Hilchas Tashlumin by Tefillah, but generally the assumption is it's not called Mechav, because you, Maisa, thought you were doing it before Moed. Lemaisa, something happened at the end, and you ended up being stuck, and now it's Moed, and it's Tzorach HaMoed. So the fact that you did not originally intend to do it on Moed, that's not called a Zilzul B'moed if you do it on Yantif with Tzorach HaMoed. It's only if you chatchila said, this is the time I'm doing it. Now, all of this that I just said, in terms of not being mechavin melach to l'moed, and doing it b'tzina, and that it should be a meleches hedyot, not meleches uman, all of this is regarding what we call Tzorach HaMoed. However, when we talk about Tzorach HaGuf, or even more focused than that, Ochel Nefesh, here, those three limitations do not apply. So if it's ochel nefesh, you're going to prepare food for yantif, for chol moed, for the last days. You can put tircha, you can be mechavin melachta lemoed, you can do it b'far hesya, and it could be maisa uman, you can get the best chefs in the world to be involved. That's ochel nefesh, and its derivative, tzorech haguf, is permitted. If you have a bathroom situation, it has to get fixed. You can call the plumber, chol HaMoed, because you need a bathroom. That's called tzorach haguf. If your refrigerator stops working, you need to have a refrigerator in order to be able to function over yantif. You can call the handyman to fix your refrigerator. If your air conditioning breaks, you can call a professional, because, again, that's called tzorach haguf. Again, if you have three refrigerators and your fourth one breaks, or if you have multiple bathrooms and you don't have that many people in the house, it wouldn't necessarily rise to tzorach haguf. And then, of course, maisa uman would be usser. Tzorach HaMoed has to be Maaseh Hedyot. So again, these are the basic categories to think about in terms of this. Another interesting issue is going to doctors on Chol HaMoed. And here you have something of a machlokes between Gedolei Poskim in Eretz Yisrael and Poskim in America. So Rav Moshe, for example, talks about a case He has a case of a person whose glasses break on Chol HaMoed. So he says that's called Tzorach HaGuf. You can go to a professional optician and they can, you know, they can fix your glasses because you need your glasses in order to function. That's called Tzorach HaGuf. But then what about, this is in Chil Gimel or Chaim Simon Ein Ches, by glasses. What about a dentist appointment? You have a cleaning done every, whatever, 4 or 6 months. And you figured, let me make my appointment Chol HaMoed. No, that's called Mechavim Lachta LaMoed. Would it be permitted? If there's no pre-existing condition, you just want to have a regular cleaning, Rav Moshe would discourage that. In fact, he holds that would be usser. However, if there's a pre-existing condition for whatever it is that you're going to the doctor for, that's different. That would be mutter, just like Tzorach HaGuf is mutter. But just bechal, because you're having a routine checkup, that would not be a good idea, even though you're off from work and you have a convenient time to make your appointment. Poskim Neret Yisrael are much more lenient than this, because they have a marker from a Sif in Shulchan Aruch, Taf Kuf Lamed Beis, which again may not be the only way to read it. But the lashon of the, I think it's the Ramah there, Taf Kuf Lamed Beis, Siv Beis. Ramah says, no, it's in Chaber rather. Kol Refuah Mutar B'Chol HaMoed. Now, what does that mean? Kol Refuah Mutar B'Chol HaMoed. So they take that to mean that anything that has to do with your physical needs, even if it's not because you have a pre-existing condition, they would say that that would be permitted on Chol HaMoed. The makor though is a tosefta that has to do with drinking a certain type of a potion, and it's a chashash of shchikas samimanim, possibly on Shabbos and Yontif, but umaisa they expand it to talk about any type of visiting of a doctor. Again, I'm not paskining, but if you have a situation where it's not really urgent, I think it would be preferable perhaps not to have a special appointment unless you have some pre-existing condition. That for sure will be mutter. But stamazai, because of the convenience, I don't know that it's proper to have an appointment just like that on Chol HaMoed, but I'm not going to paskin for sure. Again, as I mentioned before, it's hard to always know what's called exactly. So, Tzorach HaMoed, what's called Mleches Hedyot. General home improvements are not permitted Chol HaMoed. Don't think, well, I could do whatever I want. I could do my painting on Chol HaMoed because after all, it's going to make my house look nice. It's called Tzorach HaMoed. I don't think you can do that, even if you say I'll do a casual painting. I think that would be considered an Issa Chol HaMoed to do any kind of home improvements and things like that. V'chuli, attending your lawn and all things like that, that would not be appropriate l'chora based on the halachas of Chol HaMoed. Davar Ha'aved is a major topic in Taf Kuf Lamed Zayin, Taf Kuf Lamed Ches. The very first Mishnah Moed Katan is really that. The basic principle is, as I noted from the Rav Yah before, if you're going to have serious loss, then Chazal didn't want you to be upset about that, and therefore they permitted it. This permission is limited, that it cannot be mechavin melachta l'moed. That's a big no-no. If you're mechavin melachta for davar aved, they penalize you. They take the different ways to learn what the pshat is exactly, but they basically do not let you get any benefit from what you did. Shaila in the Gemara, whether they even penalize the son, we hold maskana not that way, but it's a very serious pushback, not to be mechavin melachta l'moed for davar aved. But l'mai said there is a heter davar aved. And the issue of Davar Aved is balancing when Davar Aved was mutter, when it's usser, is Chazal trying to figure out, on the one hand, the loss that would be incurred, on the other hand, the tircha that's involved to do the malacha. So basically, there are all kinds of cases in the Gemara. You have, let's say you want to insulate a pitcher or a barrel, and this therefore the contents will be preserved. So you have, on the one hand, a small barrel where the loss is less, but the tircha is less. The other hand, you have a bigger barrel where the tircha is greater, but the loss potentially would be greater. So there's a shaila in both cases. What do you assign greater premium on in terms of what would be usser, what would be mutter? The halacha is the Rambam paskens in both cases would be mutter, and that's a Sif in Shulchan Aruch example of Davar Aved issue. Beis HaShalchin has discussions about how you're going to irrigate the field. Again, different ways that you can do it with more tircha, with less tircha. So these are the kinds of discussions about specific cases of Davar Aved that are going to come up in terms of these cases in Shulchan Aruch. When you have a heter Davar Aved, so you can even do it bischar, you can even pay for it, even though the Bialachas is better to do it through a non-Jew. generally it would be mutter if it's a great hefsid, even a maisa uman. If it's a great hefsid, if it's a little hefsid, then it would be better to do maisa hedyot, says the Mishnah Berurah. The issues in terms of today are very nogeya. So, for example, what's called davar ha'aved and what's not called davar ha'aved in terms of going to work. So a person would lose his job if they didn't show up for work on Chol HaMoed. That's an example of being matir, a person to go to work, because of davar ha'aved. On the other hand, if somebody is in a position to take off, now this is an interesting question. You have vacation days. So this in Deir Shu, they bring a lot about this discussion. So you have a choice. You could take your vacation days in the summer. You could take your vacation days over Chol HaMoed. So are you mechuyev to choose Chol HaMoed so that then, you know, you won't have to work on Chol HaMoed? Or do you say, no, I'll take off in the summer. Now I have no days left. I'll lose my job if I don't work. So then I have to come into work. But after all, you could have chosen to take off Chol HaMoed. Is that called mechavin melachta lemoed v'davar avi, which is aser? Or is not called mechavin melachta lemoed? So, like, you have to know if the summer that you took off is before the Yantif or after the Yantif. We're talking before Sukkot, so after Pesach. But it could be an afkamina. If you already took your summer days off, then you're coming to Yantif, and maybe you have no choice but to Chol HaMoed, to work on Chol HaMoed. If you first have Chol HaMoed, and you could choose to work and not to work, maybe you're mechuyev to go take off then, and then you won't have your days off in the summer. But these are very important shilas. And again, the Deir Shu, if you want to find it in the Deir Shu, they have a discussion on this in Davar Aved, in the Simna Davar Aved, Tav Kuf Lamed Ches, note number seven, they bring a lot on this issue, and it's discussed by many. In terms of vacation days. Again, ideally one should take off on Chol HaMoed, again, unless you're really, really stuck. If it's a situation of what's called loss of money, if you have minyas harevach, you won't benefit, profit, that's not called melechas davar aved. It has to be that you'd actually suffer a loss. If a business would close for a week, and as a result, your customers are going to find another competitor to go to, and then you won't get them back, that would be an example of justifying a business to be open Chol HaMoed because of davar aved. I know B&H is a big company that sells cameras. So what would be, I think they're open Chol HaMoed, although they closed Friday afternoon and so on. I guess they're relying on this idea that there are many other competitors and maybe they'll feel they'll lose their customers. Don't know. But these are the kinds of the term that you may have to resort to. Again, not always so simple to know when something is a valid heter, when it's just something that people just want to use to hang their hat on. It's a serious shaila and it has to be discussed. One of the simanim is ksiva b'chol HaMoed. So you're doing a malach of ksiva. Is it called Tzarech HaMoed? Okay, maybe it's Tzarech HaMoed. Is it Meleches Hedyot, Maisa Hedyot? Okay, if it's not a calligraphy type of writing, then it could be Maisa Hedyot. But then again, maybe it's a problem. What about Davar HaAved? So the Taz famously said that if you're writing Chidushei Torah and you're going to forget it, if you don't write it down, then Ein Lecha Davar HaAved Yosef Mizeh. I guess we could equate that with computer today as well. If you have mamish something, or if you're learning a Gemara or a Sefer and you want to highlight what you're learning and you don't know if you're going to be able to remember what it was that struck you at, you know, as very important for afterwards, it could be that would be included in the Taz's Heter because you're not going to have that information at your disposal if you don't do something about it now. So that'll be an example of halacha, l'maisa davar aved, in practical terms. Taking pictures on Chol HaMoed is discussed by many of the contemporary poskim. Is it called Tzarech HaMoed? Well, I don't know necessarily. It might be Tzarech HaMoed. Is it called Meleches Uman? That's the question we had this, you know, Maisa Uman versus Maisa Hedyot. What about Davar Aved? If you're not going to take this priceless picture with the family, so maybe that could be a Davar Aved type of situation. You want to have it for posterity. But these are weird ways to apply these types of principles. But again, this is a very, very, very knotty type of topic that has to be thought about carefully. Just a little bit more about the categories. We mentioned Sarchei Rabin. It's a whole simon called Tafuf Mem Dalet about, it's a Mishnah Moed Katan that they were attacking the streets and the pits and the kvaros, and they did it bedafka on Chol HaMoed. And here it's ironic. Because here, Ingelcha Mechavim Melachto Lemoed Yosem Izeh. Now, the irony is, davar aved, you're not allowed to be mechadim rachta l'moed. So too, tzorchei ha-moed, that's not tzorcha guf. You're not allowed to be mechadim rachta l'moed. And yet, here, these tikkunim for communal purposes, so the way it's brought is that the Rosh says, you know, this is the time that people are available to deal with it. And now that people have time, in Lelach Shavema say. So Dafka here, the Heter is Dafka, even though you're Mechavim Melach Delamoed, and it's done before Hesya, and there's a lot of Tircha involved, but that's a special category of Tzarchei Rabim, that was Mutter. The Shaila is, if it's not quite like Tzarech HaMoed, and it's Maisa Uman, the Shaila, there's some discussion about whether it also would be Usr or Mutter, let's say you're building a shul. If it's Mamish, a situation at Tzarech HaMoed right now, if people could slip on the way, there's no Shaila. But if it's something which is just for afterwards, maybe only Maisa Hedut would be Mutter, not Maisa Uman. That's a Shaila here. There's a whole lot of Chubas HaRashba on this. And the Orcha Shulchan says in this sim, in Tavkuf Mem Dalid, Yesh Levroach Mipnei HaTerim Sheish Ben Zulzul Moed. Again, to keeping in mind, as we began, Zulzul Moed is sometimes your instincts have to be also very much part of the equation. If something smells like Zulzul Moed, even if you haven't asked the Shaila, you might be able to decide on your own, it might not be okay. Zulzul Moed is an important category to think about. Again, but this inyan of Tzarchei Rabim, an elevator breaks, things like this, you can bring whoever it is in to deal with it. The Simen Aksiva B'chol HaMoed is Tavkuf Mem Hei. We mentioned, touched on it a little bit. The issue of writing a letter that's mentioned in the Mechaber, writing Igeres Shlomim and things like this, certain documents. Again, you have to know whether it's called Maisa Uman, Maisa Hedyot. And what's called ksiva, you know, in terms of the malacha, some people have a chumra to write with the, you know, shinoi and whatever. But again, pashtus, if it's not considered a formal type of a ksiva, and it's tzorach ha-moed, then it should be mutter, because it's tzorach ha-moed and it's maisa hedyot. But again, if it's done even without a tircha, that also could be a basis to be matter, because there's no tircha involved. Okay, there are issues regarding when you do work, issues. Yeah, questions? Go ahead.
Rebbe spoke earlier about printing something. So that wouldn't fall into that category of something that doesn't have any tircha?
So that could be. Yeah, that could be. Number one, you could rely on Rav Moshe and say that if anybody could push the button, then it's called, as long as it's Tzarech HaMoed, then it's Mutter because it's called Maisa Hedyot. And Tzarech HaMoed is Mutter, but it's not Maisa Uman. Or I suppose if you want to go the route of whatever is simple enough without, you can do casually. So even if it's not Tzarech HaMoed, but again, how do you know where to draw the line? I mean, if it does require a certain element of focus, you know, again, you know, you're browsing the internet just for the, you know, what's called Tzarech HaMoed, you know, you're, the next thing you know, you could be sitting there for 2 hours browsing whatever. Is that called spending your time in a way that's moed appropriate? You know, people can find themselves doing this for hours, and what happened, the hours just came and went. I would say, obviously, then you have to start thinking seriously about, you know, what you just did. So, again, if it's a one-shot deal, it takes a second to do it. You push the button, you have it. In stomach, that could be, again, that would be the inyan of not having a tircha. It's not a tircha. Okay, there's specific inyanim, idei akum, amirul akum, not to take schar for it. Pragmatia, we mentioned before, there's a lot of discussion in the poskim. How come people are making with pragmatia? It's a mefurash gemara, it's drabbanon, granted, but it's an iser that Chazal gave. Most Rishon say it's in the Torah. Some say gzeira shem yichtov, but most say because of Torah. So we find people doing business on Chol Moed. What about going on the internet? Again, I'm giving you the issues. I'm not paskining. But okay, you go to Amazon, you buy things. It's no tircha, right? But then again, Chazal Aser. You can't tell me, well, I'm doing it, it's no tircha. This is Chazal Aser Pragmatia. You can't. Now, if it's Dava Aved, then it's okay. What's called Dava Aved? If there's a sale that's going on for these few days, you wait till after Yontif, you won't have that kind of a bargain. The price is going to go up. So that I could hear. That could be Dava Aved because you're not, and that's an example of Dava Aved that post can talk about. You're not going to have that type of, you're going to save money if you buy it now. But if the price is what it is now, is going to be after Yontif. So true, there's no Tircha. But Chazal Aser Pragmatia. So would you be able to order something that's not, if it's Tzarech HaMoed, okay, Tzarech HaMoed. If it's not Tzarech HaMoed, but you'll have it for after, you'll have it and you'll use it after Yontif. So again, it's only, unless it's something that fits within a category that you could be matir, it, you're getting into a shayla, a pragmatia, but yet you find Maisim B'chol Yom, people do business on Yontif, on Chol Moed, and the post can try to figure out, you know, how can you justify it? Maybe it's Orach HaMoed, maybe it's Dabah HaAved. How could you justify it? Then you have to really think very carefully about it. Just a few loose ends. Again, this everything we did is really very, very superficial, but I'll get, at least to have at least an idea of where to go, where to look, and what to think about. For the sake of being mashlim, a few loose ends. So besides for these inyanim that we just mentioned, Melacha B'chol HaMoed, and the Issur Pragmatia Midrabanan B'chol HaMoed, there are specific zeros that Chazal made. These are Simanim Tavkuf Lamed Aleph, the early Simanim, before you get to the Melachas Issur, Issur Melacha, Tavkuf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, Lamed Dalid, Giluach, Kibus. So there's a Gzeira Chazal said, not Eru Megalchin. In other words, that only certain individuals are allowed to shave and take haircuts on Yontif. Those unique situations are mentioned in the Mishnah. But other than that, Chazal said, don't shave, don't take haircuts on Yontif because they want you to do it before Yontif. Similar thing when it comes to laundry. We don't want Chol Moed to become a laundry day. So therefore, they answered. Again, there are heterim, of course, things that naturally get dirty. Chazal talk about that. The Mishnais talk about that. Young kids' clothing that gets soiled. Again, what age you have to know is considered that. There's a machokis machab and Ramah about cutting nails on Chol HaMoed. The Ramah is machmir, the Shulchan Aruch is makel. So if you're a Sfardi, you're okay. The Mishneh Berurah dafka says if you cut them before Yontif, then you'd be allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, because according to Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, if you anyway did it before Yontif, even by Geruach, he would be matir doing it on Yontif. We don't hold like that, Me'ikir Hadin. The Rav is known to have the makel of shaving Chol HaMoed. A person shaves regularly. The Rav had a kula, and he felt to the contrary. It's more a covered Yontif Acheron to shave. Those who are Talmidim of the Rav probably rely on it, but for the most of the Velt, people are generally machmir, like it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, not to shave over Chol HaMoed. The last thing I'll mention again, Derech, just as a loose end issue, which is also very much part of what we see in Shul Chol HaMoed, is the question of tefillin the Chol HaMoed. So this is not found in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, this is found in Hilchos Tefillin, in Siman Lamed Aleph. So there's a major machlokas, Rishonim, Tosafot in many places in Shas discusses this question. Should we wear tefillin Chol HaMoed? So we know that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. One of the reasons is because B'hayil Os HaYotcha, so Yom Tovim are an Os, Shabbos is an Os, and Yom Tovim are an Os, and therefore you don't need the Os of tefillin. There's another drasha, Miyam Yamima, not every day, only certain days. How does this play out with regard to Chol HaMoed? So it could have to do with the question of Melacha B'Chol HaMoed Midoraisa Midrabanan, as follows. Because what is the os of Yontif? Why do we say that Yontif has an os and therefore you don't wear tefillin? So one could say that the os is the mitzvahs of the yom, such as eating matzah or Issur Achilas Chametz, eating matzah or sukkah. If that were the os, then it would include Chol HaMoed and you wouldn't wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, another possibility is that the os is the Issur Melach. So if the os is Issur Melach, then we have to ask ourselves, is it Issur Melacha Midarais and Chol HaMoed? If the Torah asked the Melacha, when the Torah asked Melacha, Chol HaMoed, whatever level, then it would have the same halacha as Yontif, and therefore there'd be no tefillin. But if Midaraisa or Melacha is Mutter, only the Rabbanan is Aser, and the entire reason why there's an Os is because of Issur Melacha, then that would be a reason why you could say that there is a Chiyuv of Tefillin Chol HaMoed. So that could connect to that issue. The Zohar became publicized in later Tkufa, as we know, in 1400s. And it was through that a lot of the discussion became shifted in favor of not wearing tefillin. The Beis Yosef himself quotes, who was, of course, part of the Mekubalei Tzfat, he quoted the Zohar and says, now that we have the Zohar, he tells us how terrible it is to wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. So that's where he pushes not to wear tefillin. But Moshe used to say that if someone doesn't have a particular mesorah, then they should wear tefillin, but not make a bracha. Bracha, safik bracha is l'hakel, but safik midaraisa, safik daraisa l'chumra. So if you have a shmachokas aposkim, and we're not in a position to machriya, so then one would wear tefillin without a bracha. The Rav used to say that generally one should follow not one's Rebbe, but one's particular family tradition. If your, whatever reason, your shita and your family is not to wear, then you follow that. And if your shita is to wear with or without a bracha, depending on whatever your masorah is, then that's what you should follow. There's a lot of discussion about what this go to do. Again, we don't have time to go into all the details, but what happens if you have a shul, which is often the case, where some people are wearing, some people are not wearing, is there a concern of what this go to do? Would it be best to have separate minyanim or have some, the minority or whatever is not considered the minhag ha-makom to be behind the machitza and only join in afterwards? So again, that's something you can look into if you wanted to. I'll just add, Rav Moshe used to say, I still found this in Masoras Moshe, which is like a diary of Rav Moshe's hanhagos and things he said, he said the Ashkenazim, probably meaning the Germans, the Yekis, used to wear tefillin with a bracha. He says in Lita, the Gra had a lot of hashpa, and therefore it had hashpa to the extent that they did not make a bracha. Even though the Gra did not say that they should change the minhag, but because of that, they stopped making a bracha. In Vilna itself, they did put on tefillin, but they were choshish not to make a bracha because of the minhag hagra. In Eretz Yisrael, nobody wears tefillin because minhag hagra took over the whole country. In other words, so those who wear tefillin, who have a minhag to wear tefillin, will do it privately, bitzina. But you won't find any place in Eretz Yisrael, b'far hesya, in any shul, that will have people wearing tefillin. Again, those who have the minhag or the shita to wear will only do it in their own privacy of their home. Okay, so that's, again, a little bit of a survey. Yishma Chacham V'Yosef Lekach, again, to be aware, as Rabbi Orlin said earlier on, that there are serious halachas, but not just to stress the negative. I think it's important to leave the message for Balabatim and for yourselves that this is not about making things hard. To the contrary, the whole point of our discussion is to create a feeling of Yontif is special. Yontif is an opportunity to really tap into our spiritual reservoirs, to feel good in terms of our physical selves, and from that, to be able to take it to another level of Kedusha, to be able to devote hours, really. If you want to go on a trip, spend the half a day learning and then do the trip in the afternoon, but be kovea itim with Torah in a way that you wouldn't otherwise, and feel good about it. Create a sense of simcha sachag, have fun with the family, and that's how we should be guarding ourselves and recognizing that the Yisuri Malacha are really meant in order to bring out that spirit of character of the day. It shouldn't be a yom chol. Treat it with respect, wear proper clothing, and encourage people to wear clothing that shows that they're machshiv the day. Make a suda with bread if you could. Certainly have a little wine if you enjoy it, and basar and other things that you enjoy. And that should really be the ultimate message to take away. But recognizing that there are serious halachas that should be should be followed. And the Mitzvah Shem that I would mention just to tell you, it's brought, I forget which svarim, that we have Tainus Bahab after Sukkot and beginning of Cheshvan and beginning of Iyar. So one of the reasons brought, I think Shmuel Zalman maybe brings this, that we have Tainus Bahab is because it's almost impossible for a Jew not to be nichshol one way or another in Melacha B'Chol HaMoed. And therefore we have the Tainus Bahab in order to mechaper for those situations where Nebuch people were mezalzel on whatever level b'moed, so that's the way to have a tikkun for it. But hopefully we don't need the tikkun. Hopefully we'll have the right approach when we approach chol moed, that we should be able to make the most of it. Okay, and everyone should enjoy the rest of what we have in the summer, and we have to keep all this in mind for.